A new report from Rutgers University estimates more than 40 million eligible voters in the United States are disabled. The disabled voting bloc is growing as the U.S. population ages, yet advocates say hurdles that make people feel excluded from the electoral process are not being addressed. Joining us now, Jeanette Mott-Oxford, outgoing public policy and advocacy manager at Paraquad. Jeanette, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Let's talk about some of the political discourse. How much do our mainstream political candidates acknowledge issues that do impact people with disabilities and their families?
Well, it certainly varies. We had a nonpartisan candidate forum here at Paraquad on September 28th, and 14 candidates for U.S. Senate, Missouri governor race, some of the Missouri Senate races, and the county council races, and congressional districts 1 and 2, 14 folks from 5 different parties came and answered questions from people with disabilities in the audience. We thought that was a pretty good response, especially since they came from 5 political parties. So we had, the full range parties at the table answering questions. On the other hand, certainly there were many candidates that didn't bother to respond to our invitation at all, to even say, can't make it, I have another appointment. So it really varies from candidate to candidate. We also discovered on August 6th that there are still some challenges for people as they go to vote. A member of our staff who's blind asked for an accessible voting machine and was told we don't have one. And she says, I think you do. And after, persisting and, saying, could you call a supervisor over? They did indeed find the accessible voting machine, get it set up for her, and she was able to vote. So people do encounter some challenges and need to be persistent and make their plan now for how to vote on November 5th.
Jeanette, what are some of the other challenges that people with disabilities face? And what are some of the key issues that they want discussed?
Well, when we ask participants here at Paraquad what their number one barriers in life are, they name transportation and the lack of affordable, accessible housing as the biggest problems that there are. You may know that in February of 2023, Metro Transit denied 19,000 rides to people with disabilities on their call ride paratransit system. And we began to organize around that and have built a coalition called the St. Louis Metropolitan Alliance for Reliable Transit, or SMART for short. It's grown from 6 members to over 100 now. And they meet weekly and have been speaking out to the county council and the board of aldermen and to the board of commissioners of bi-state development itself, and have seen a lot of improvements by organizing their voices. So that's certainly what people with disabilities need to do, is organize in large numbers and speak out to get some impact. Both the board of aldermen and the county council have been very receptive to people with disabilities coming and telling their stories. And we especially appreciated it when Councilwoman the chair of the county council, Shalonda Webb, told the CEO of Bi-State that she expected them to not just check a box, but to move the needle on improving transportation. And certainly we've seen those denials of rides go down, and there are improvements there. There's more we want to see done, but many of our demands have been met, including revamping the ADA advisory committee for Metro. So that's important. The accessible housing one, there is such a huge lack. More than 120,000 units in Missouri are needed to meet the demand for people living at 30% of area median income and down. And people with disabilities do tend to live in poverty at a 2 to 3 times higher rate than the non-disabled population. So often those accessible housing barriers are to people with disabilities.
Jeanette, I'm curious, you mentioned the transportation piece. Is that a big issue on election day for voters who live with disabilities?
Well, it certainly can be. If your ride falls through, as it does sometimes, or you can only get a one-way trip, it can make for a very hard day. However, if people plan now, they can arrange to vote by absentee ballot. They can do I'm not remembering the exact date, but you can check with the County Board of Elections for the date that the no excuse absentee voting starts, where you can arrange on a day that you can find transportation. Perhaps a relative can take you, you can plan carefully to get your call ride booked. And now you can also vote at more sites too, not just an assigned polling place, but multiple sites. So it's becoming easier to vote. And you can vote absentee. You can vote by using the drive up feature at many places, including some of the public libraries. So there are ways if you make your plan now. But people with disabilities shouldn't wait. If they wait till election day and either their transportation falls through or they're just not feeling well that day, it would be terrible to miss their opportunity to vote.
Jeanette, are campaign materials accessible to voters with disabilities leading up to the election?
Well, many candidates do not think about that and do not see that their campaign materials are available in formats like Braille or make sure that items on their website that can be downloaded can be read by a screen reader, for example. There are a lot of missed opportunities where candidates do fail to plan for reaching every voter.
What about for candidates themselves who live with disabilities? I think of, our U.S. Senator in Illinois, Tammy Duckworth. She's been so visible. But do you feel for other candidates, who live with disabilities, that the process is open for them to enter the political arena?
I do. I think that more people with disabilities should consider running for office. There was a very fruitful partnership in our Missouri General Assembly in 2023 when Melanie Stinnett, who, as far as I know, does not live with a disability, but she's a speech pathologist, so she works with a lot of people with disabilities, and Bridget Walsh Moore, a legislator from here in the St. Louis area, who lost a leg to cancer, worked together to pass a wonderful bill that improves the earnings and asset rules for people with disabilities so that they don't experience so much penalty for either working or getting married. Two things that we claim we want people to do. We want you to work and we want you to get married. And yet people with disabilities were losing access to health care if they earn just a little bit of money or their spouse earned just a little bit of money. So a bill passed improving those earnings rules and asset rules. And it also had sections called Model Employer and Employment First, which meant that every department of Missouri government now has to report annually how they are doing on hiring people with disabilities. There's a stated principle that people with disabilities deserve to work in integrated and competitive settings instead of being segregated into sub-minimum wage. It's still legal to pay people with disabilities less than the minimum wage, unfortunately, through the Fair Labor Standards Act. That has not been fixed. But we have now said as a state that we believe people with disabilities should get to work in integrated and competitive employment settings.
Jeanette, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting us to be on.
That is Jeanette Mott-Oxford, outgoing public policy and advocacy manager at Paraquad St. Louis.